This is an Alter Nerd Reality Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the AFK Anonymous Podcast, a podcast for the wonderful mobile game called AFK Arena, available on iOS and Google Play. So I am Heber Hammer, and I will be your host for today because Mr. Chewburger84 is traveling through Jordan right now for business. So no worries, because he will be back at home in his proper place next week.
But he's got to get that money to catch up.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, super fast.
I don't want to take the spotlight away from him whenever he tells us far ahead he is now. Let's just say he's about to reach me if he hasn't already, actually, because I don't know what he did today.
I don't know. But, and I'm pretty sure he's
past
me.
You.
Yeah, he's past passed you. Me basically after we recorded the first episode.
Yeah. So much for the this will not continue anymore. Mm-hmm.
I'm the low player now.
Yeah, you're now the I was thinking about that earlier this week. I was like, oh, whenever we do the intros again for this episode, we're going to have to rename you as the new player. Yep.
That's okay, though.
It's okay.
I just cry a little bit.
Exactly.
I'm going to get really, really edgy and emo, and I'll become a Greatborn.
Exactly, yeah. You'll fit right in. Right with them, yeah. All right, so, of course, we do have, obviously, Spider-Guy22 with us today, so no worries there. How you doing today?
I'm doing good. It was a little bit of a slow week, but yep. I liked a lot of the other content they released around the game.
Yeah, me too. I mean, we're going to, in fact, go ahead and give you guys the lay of the land for this episode right now. We're going to be going into a little bit about what we did this week in the game, very brief. Then we're going to do some news, which I'm going to talk a little bit about the Voyage of Wonders, the balance changes of it, Graveborn stuff, and the contest winner, which is really cool. And then we're going to be talking about doing a faction focus on Graveborn, and then a character spotlight on Chimera, followed up by my personal favorite part, the dev feedback for the suggestion area in the official AFK Discord channel. Mm-hmm. Very cool and interesting stuff there. Yeah, I haven't seen this done for any other game before, and it's really unique. Trust me, whenever we get to that section, you're going to love it. It's basically like a date.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and get right into it. So what did you do this week in the game?
Yeah, so the highlight of my week in terms of progression was ascending Chimera. I had a tough decision of getting another copy of her or getting Nomura.
Mm-hmm.
And if I got the Nomura, I still wouldn't be able to cross over the 161 hump. So I was just like, I'll just do Chimera. I can ascend her.
Yes.
Maybe it'll make a difference. And it did. It jumped me up to 1640 in the campaign. But I still haven't solved my 161 hump because I don't know.
I know you want to eat Arden to get over that hump.
Yeah.
Because I saw you post that up. But yeah, you got it.
I'm willing to sacrifice any of them. Like Nomura, because they're all good. But it's like at the same time, you just at this point in the game, I just need all three of them.
Exactly. Yeah, they're just too important to let go. Because I actually did that myself. Like I ate Arden at one point and then I kicked myself and I was like, oh, gosh darn it.
Yeah.
I have to level him up again because he's too important.
Yeah, way back.
It
served a purpose. Like it got me over a hump. I think it was the 140 hump, I think.
Yeah.
But now I'm at the 160 hump. I'm just like, I can't do that again. But at the same time, I'm just not getting the drops I need. So.
Yeah. I mean, I feel you. And that's
yeah,
becoming more and more common in the game. So I'm not surprised by that.
Yeah. How's your week?
My week is pretty good. I am finally into chapter 20 now. I have been saving up my guild coins for a long time too. So as soon as I hit the chapter 21, I think it's 21.4.
Yeah.
Remember offhand?
Yep.
For Mythic Plus gear in the store, I'm going to be buying me some Mythic Plus gear, which, whew, the increase on the stats, man.
I haven't taken a look. I don't know if you know the numbers off the top of your head, but is it that noticeable just from regular Mythic?
So it's hard to say because I saw a piece at 5 stars. One of our guildies is up there right now, and he got it, and he has it at 5 stars. And it was, let me just say, substantial boost. Especially, it was on the boots, so it gave a bunch of health, like so much health. It was great. So yeah, looking pretty good. And yeah. Plus also, at the very least, you're at the top tier of gear for right now mm-hmm. with the Mythic Plus. So you just can stop worrying about...
Yeah, it's like the end, finally, of one of the farms, almost.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. Other than that, I'm well into the 200s now for Shamira. So that's good. I'm coming up on 220, and I'm going to be boosting up everyone else. I'm not looking forward to the next dust crunch.
No. How much is it at that point?
For 200, I believe it was, I want to say 30.
Mm. Okay. As long as it scales nicely and you're getting the appropriate feed to a certain extent, I guess it's not a big deal. But the number is intimidating.
Yeah. I'll have to look into that whenever I come to it later on. But yeah, it's definitely coming up. Either way, I know I'm going to have to be spending a lot of dust, so I'm worried about it.
Yeah, there are other ways. You can go behind the rickety cart and maybe work a few nights.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm going to have to do. Trust me, I would gladly do that for some dust.
Yeah, I know you got a Mihira this week. I think you can take some inspiration from her, and I think that would get you a lot of dust
I'll business. I'll just blame it on Mihira afterwards. no one can blame me.
No.
But yeah, I did get Mihira. That was my big pull. Two of them, actually, surprisingly. Dang. So I do think that there's a little bit of a, I don't know, I feel like there's something, because I feel like whenever I pull one character, like, I have a very high chance of pulling that same character within the next, like, pull or two. I feel like it's probably Bull. Like, it's just my imagination, but...
No, let's buff up this conspiracy, because after our last episode, Chu did not have Lucius. Right, Lucius. Yeah. Like, I don't think he did. And then the moment we started talking about, he got two on the same day. Mm-hmm. And then the following day, I got two Brutuses on the same day.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
So I think that this is officially fact now.
That three anecdotal stories.
Yeah, yes, exactly. That's fact. Yeah, that sums up to a fact. Okay, so we have a new fact here.
There you go. Breaking news.
But all right, so let's go ahead and hop into the news section. So one very good thing was the Voyage of Wonders balance patch that we got, which we got some extra diamonds, which is so on point for them, and I love it.
Yeah.
And I personally, what was great about it for me was that I didn't have any issue with Voyage of Wonders, and I still got those diamonds, so yay for me. But I know that you had a little bit more trouble with it, right?
No, I still cleared it before the balance patch. So I cleared it a day after you.
I was feeling all high and mighty over here.
No, I'm sorry. No, I know I'm the low one now, but I'm still pretty confident. I think it was Chu that was actually struggling. I mean, sure at the way he's progressing, that even if we didn't have the balance patch, he would have.
He would surpass more of a cakewalk for him than me now. I mean, because he has more ascended characters than I do.
Right yes. Now. once again, we'll save this. When Chu comes back, he can show off his EPing to all of us.
Yes, exactly.
But I will say, I'm happy the Voyage of Wonders balance came, because I know there was some frustration with the community that I was, I did not feel. I don't think you felt it either, just because of maybe the point in the game we were at.
I mean, I felt for the, I mean, because it was obviously an issue for the lower level people. But at the same time, I still had that, you know, the information that it was going to be a 2-week thing. So I felt like there should be a grind. And that was one of the things that I felt like was missing from my end, was that I wanted it to be more of a grind. Now I'm just kind of sitting here for 2 weeks waiting for it to refresh.
Yeah, I think that's my issue. I'm glad they're so responsive to the community. And I guess this is the flip side, is you still don't want to be super responsive. Like, I mean, some people will probably disagree with me, but at the same time, you don't want just to be a cakewalk, especially if it's supposed to be a 2-week event. And maybe they knew that. And maybe they knew it was supposed to be cleared in a certain amount of days, and they just did 2 weeks to give everyone an opportunity to really dig in.
Yeah.
So I'm not 100% sure. I mean, I like the balance change. I do. But at the same time, it's like, well, I worked really hard on this, and I'm glad, like... You know, I got gems for it. Maybe this is just me being like entitled now. But it's like, but I did it when it was hard. So shouldn't I get more than the people who did it?
I think that I know what you mean. But yeah, I think that, you know, it that was why I kind of like, we had that weird territory of it was really easy for the higher up players, and then it was really, really hard for the lower players. Yeah. So I felt like if we just lowered the difficulty overall and just increased the amount of nodes, like that kind of would have solved everyone's issue, because that would have been more of a grind for everyone regardless, but it would have been easier to go through it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, it definitely does. Yeah.
So I have all the answers, basically.
Of course. yeah, if it was like a growth curve, I just felt like it was like an exponential spike down almost in terms of difficulty, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. And they just need to smooth out that curve, essentially.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I will say, yeah, I mean, just as you pointed out earlier, though, it was so nice that they responded so quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, I people are probably annoyed that I go on about the devs so much. I basically suck their dick every week.
You wonder where he's going to get his dust.
Yeah, exactly. I'm puckering up the dust right
now.
Come on,
guys, just one more suck. Just for 500, please.
But yeah, I mean, it really is like coming from other games that we've played. This is such refreshing. A massive,
exactly. We don't know how to respond.
Exactly. I have, like, there's really no other way to do it than me just like praise them as my God every week. So, but anyways, all right. Well, so the Voyage one of things was balanced. That's great. We'll see what happens on the next one. I'm really, really, really interested to see how the next one's going to go down, because I think it's going to be really telling.
Yeah. So the other piece of news that came out this week that I was actually really excited about, and mm-hmm. we've been kind of hinting at this, is the fact that they have said, hey, you know what? There's been a lot of desire for this. We're actually going to give you like lore segments every couple of weeks about different things. So they're starting with a faction focus, and they released the Graveborn story, which is really cool. We're going to mm-hmm. talk about it a little bit later, and it kind of goes into just like the origins of the Graveborn.
I'm glad that they're doing this personally.
So do I. Yeah, I mean, it's not in game, so you have to kind of go through other means to get it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't mind that. I mean, it's good stuff.
Yeah, also I like the fact that obviously there is a big enough push from the community. Like, people are interested enough in the lore for them mm-hmm. to keep doing things like that.
Yeah, and the devs care about too.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, we pointed that out in the first week. It's just like there's lore attached to literally everything in this game, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
So
the really cool thing about the story, without actually going to like mm-hmm. the spoiler territory, is it's a really good quick read.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and move on to the next thing. So we're going to go ahead and talk about the contest winner, because they did have a contest, which actually you submitted yourself to.
I did.
You submitted yourself, because you wouldn't make a great champion, but you submitted a character. Jesus,
is this just rip-on Spider-Guy day? It's just like, yeah, your shit patterns, you're the low player now, and all of a sudden, yeah, you're not good enough to be an AFK.
To be fair, I wouldn't make a great champion either, so.
No, none of us would.
But yeah, so they did, I'll let you go into the winner of it, but yeah, just to give everyone the lowdown of what happened, basically, they do contests all the time, which is really great, and, you know, the winners of it, it usually tiers down of like top three or something, and then it goes to
I think this was top 10 got the was it 10k
I think 10k yeah.
And then I think another 30 were selected for 3k,
yeah,
if I can remember off the top of my head. And there's a lot of entries.
Yes, a lot. And it was for, by the way, it was for a create your own character. And basically, there's a chance of them to actually use it in the game. I read the fine print there. They can actually use it in the game, which I think would be pretty cool.
I think that's awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah, why don't you go ahead and tell us about the winner of this one?
Yeah, so the winner was I think his Reddit handle was, I don't know how to pronounce this, Violome. But he created a celestial mage intelligence based hero called Casimir, complete with art, like a lot of details about the story. Basically, he's like the pinnacle of goodness.
Yeah, the devs commented on it, and they really liked it, which was really cool to see. And also that the devs like even comment on them, let alone pick them. So that, I think that's really cool.
Yeah, and then not to go too much into it, but his whole mechanics was like this fire, and he tries to capitalize on like fire things. So he has a hearth that he tosses out to everyone. It provides a like a protective type mm-hmm. ability, and then all his other abilities tie into that. So it's really cool.
Very cool. I wouldn't be surprised if we see him come in, because I bet you that like number one winner, like he has a pretty good chance of coming in if they liked him that much.
I agree.
So yeah, you might want to pay attention to this segment after all, because might be looking at a future character.
Maybe.
All right, so let's go ahead and talk about the... Oh, one other thing I totally almost forgot to mention. One resource that I found this week, which was very, very useful for anyone that likes to go through Labyrinth and min-max their way through it. It's definitely more important for, you know, early game players than late, because late, you know, you kind of learn to breeze through it a bit.
Yeah.
But if you go to Reddit, you can look for the lab path for whatever week it is, or I'm sorry, for whatever you know, day the new Labyrinth comes out. Mm-hmm. And there is a user called Anil, A-I-N-I-L. So, user Anil. He is, I'm such a kid.
Both of us are.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. We have no right to have a podcast.
No, we don't. We don't.
This is what happens when Chewie's gone. He actually can't, like, kind of wrangle us in, I feel like.
No.
Although, let's not kid ourselves. He's a kid.
He just hides it better, everyone.
Yeah, exactly. But anyways, okay. So, if you go to Reddit, every time whenever there's a new Labyrinth out, you can actually find this posted up. And he lists where all of the red flags are and all the brown flags are. You know, mm-hmm. basically every single structure that's in there maps out the whole thing. For first, second, third level, and hard mode.
Yeah.
So, very useful. Go check it out. I wish that I had this whenever I was a younger level.
Yes. I didn't even realize they, once again, this just, I'm going to start leaning to the fact that I'm the low player now. Yeah. I didn't even know that they swapped up Labyrinth every week because I was so focused on just picking up new characters and trying them out.
I have no idea how you didn't notice that.
And then I was always looking for the red ones for the most part just to get the best gear. Like, that was my rule of thumb.
Yeah,
just look a few ahead and just map out my path. But
I mean, if I'm being like, this is super noob to admit, but yeah. If I'm being honest, I didn't realize that there were different flags for a little bit towards the beginning. It probably took me like 4 or 5 Labyrinth runs until I realized, I'm like, wait, hold on, why do these ones always give out crappy ones?
Yeah.
So,
but it's definitely a useful resource.
Absolutely. Yeah. So. Go check it out if you're struggling, because it will help you. I can guarantee it.
Yeah. So, yeah, with that, let's get into our faction focus. And this is the first time we're doing this, so we're still kind of feeling things out. But basically, the faction focus is going to do exactly what you would imagine it's going to do. It's going to go over, like, the basic lore, some of the basic traits that you see in the characters. Like, most of these characters and factions have, like, mechanics that that are somewhat similar.
Commonalities.
Amongst most of the characters. And then some of the standout characters. And possibly like a comp if we get to that point. But the idea is just to get you guys more familiar with it. And if you're at a point that you're at a higher level, you're just kind of like, it's just good to kind of reflect, because I feel like we were looking earlier, when you look at the super end game, mm-hmm. like they are not playing with the characters we're talking about a lot. Like they are going and building comps with, I saw Isabella, which I haven't used Isabella, I think, since I first pulled her.
Yeah. You know,
in the first week, really. And clearly there's some value to them.
Yeah, I mean, it just shows you how deep... I mean, granted, PvP is a different beast than PvE. Mm-hmm. But it just shows you, like, how deep the strategy with characterization goes whenever you're not being pigeonholed into a few characters. Or you're so good at creating these comps that you're actually able to utilize a whole bunch of different characters.
Yeah.
So... Let's go ahead and get into it.
So I'm going to be giving some spoilers from the Greyborn story that was released earlier this week, but feel free to either skip a few minutes. We'll try to, make it quick and fast here. Mm-hmm. So the origins of the Greyborn are actually tied to, if you pay attention, the quote-unquote evil god, Anaya. He's the one who created the hypergenes and all that stuff. And once he decided that he's like, you know, done with his responsibility and left, the dead began to wake up. And this one ancient mage started to kind of capitalize on that and found ways to kind of manipulate the laws around life and death to the point where he changed into like this ghostly spirit. And if you kind of look in the game, I've always kind of imagined Sorin as that. I don't necessarily think Sorin is this guy, but he kind of has that ghostly appearance almost.
Yeah, you're right.
And he decided that he was just going to rule through fear and loyalty through fear rather than respect. Before he was a mage, basically he retreated, got like, just kept embracing death, and just wanted to kind of harness this dark energy and he quietly spread his magic through the world, which is like why you constantly see like, oh, well, there's necromancers and all this stuff every once in a while. And mm-hmm. over time, they just created this group called the Graveborn. And the Graveborn are basically, for the most part, mindless husks, and they're part of like a hive network. The heroes that we get in the game have a amount of sentience that the other Graveborn do not exist. But they still communicate with this main Graveborn. I think I'm going to pronounce his name incorrectly, but it's Quaidam.
Q-U-A. I think that's right, actually, yeah.
And he's kind of like, he's one influencing all of them. If you look at all the stories about Graveborn at the end, they always have that, like, and then there was a voice. And he always goes in, like, their darkest moments and basically says, like, accept my power and then you can do this. And his ultimate goal is just to wait until the rest of the world is, you know, the faith of the gods kind of weaned down, and then he's just gonna take it over.
Yeah, I think that it was really cool that Anaya.
Yeah, I do too.
I thought that was actually a really cool twist, because it wasn't like, you know, he's already there pulling the strings or anything like that. Like, no, he straight up abandoned them, and then another guy rose to the top and was like, all right, I'm gonna take care of this because he's gone.
Yeah.
So yeah, I thought that was actually really cool. Graveborn's probably my favorite faction, I'd say.
So is mine. I don't know what it is about it. Maybe I'm just an emo kid at heart, and yeah. I just like the design aesthetic or something.
Yeah, I'm trying to, because Lightbringers are too much of goody-goodies. Lightbearers are too much of goody-goodies for me. I think of Lucius, and I'm just like, no, bro. But yeah, I think one of the cool things about the Graveborn is summons.
Yeah.
That's one of the commonalities of their traits. And summons are super important in this game. They're underrated. Yeah, because, man, if you have just a millisecond of a distraction, that can be all you need mm-hmm. to make the difference between a win or a loss right there.
Yeah. And especially, once we go into the heroes, we'll kind of give you an idea of what heroes do it. But there's a decent amount, and typically it's not just one summon. Like, you're getting it several, mm-hmm. Normally at least 2 to 4 per match. And if you have a whole, like, all of a sudden now you just have, like, this army of the dead, which is really cool if you're using all of them together. Like, it really leans into that aesthetic.
R.I.P. Old Baden. Yeah. The people who wailed out and got him and then used him for those few days that he was creating unlimited clones.
He was awesome.
I can't imagine how far they got in the campaign.
Yeah. It just goes like the design aesthetic on him is so badass.
It really is. I think he's probably my favorite. Yeah. There's honestly like so many really cool ones, but
yeah.
Yeah, I probably
see. We'll go into it in a couple minutes. But so the other common thing, so you have all these summons. The other thing you see a lot of is leech mechanics. Mm-hmm. So they also have like this self-sustain as well. And once again, when we talk about Shamira, you can see she's probably the biggest self-sustain out of all of them.
Yes.
And then the other thing kind of goes along self-sustain just in a different way is a lot of them also have a res mechanic where they will die and somehow they will still have an impact on the field. Mm-hmm. Or they're just going to come back up.
Right.
And I'm sure on certain nodes that Thorin is so... Sometimes he's a pain in the ass.
I mean, I have used him for longer than I think a lot of people did. And he was also one of my, like, necessities for Labyrinth during my early game. He's honestly still such a good option because that res, it refreshes every time. So if you're using him in Labyrinth, you know, he can go down, he'll come back up, and then it'll be ready again, you know, the next time. So it's a really, really good character to have in there. And he can buy time in a campaign node, which as you go later on, mm-hmm. buying time is what you need. So
He also has, and I don't have his kit in front of me, and part of it's because I'm trying to work through some nodes with him right now, mm-hmm. against him. And he also has like a reflect at the first couple seconds of a game, of a match. Mm-hmm. And it redirects to your lowest, your weakest hero, which right. is, and it's really annoying sometimes because if you combine that with like a, the PvE loves to use Sylvina, those two will wreck your lowest people super fast, and it's super annoying.
Sylv is incredibly annoying.
Yeah. So with that, I think we've kind of hit at some of the characters already, but like what were some of the standout Graveborns that you really liking, like why do you enjoy them?
So I think Grizul, he's important because he's I think the, yeah, there's only two tanks currently for Graveborn, and he's one of them. Granted, Shamira like gets a tank with an asterisk because she can, she does so much sustain that she can kind of tank.
She can.
But yeah, I think Grizzle's really good, especially with his new signature item. His ultimate brings up two little summon people. I guess they're like little zombie demon things.
Yeah.
And his signature item actually allows him to get more. So it's very, very good. He's got one of the best signature items, in my opinion. So very good character. And then Thoran, for the reasons that we mentioned earlier, is another good one for me. Baden is incredibly good, especially on Riz or any kind of boss at all. Incredibly good character. If, if you are lucky enough to get drops on him, use him. And I'll go ahead and let you pick some more because I know at least one more that.
Oh, you know it. So I really am a fan of Nera just because I feel like you have characters like Lucius and Brutus, which, you know, and Fox does something similar. But I kind of just like the fact that this is a frontline hero and can actually keep rolling. Whereas Fox, once he's down, he's, you know, that's it. She has some form of sustain, especially later on where she starts healing herself and she starts giving herself a shield off of kills and she gives herself some energy back off of kills. So she just starts chaining it, ideally in late game. And it is one of those abilities that you have to kind of, you don't want to necessarily use it on auto. You want to kind of manually control it.
Yeah.
But it is really good.
I mean, for Brutus, like, it's amazing for Brutus.
It is. It's such like, a good feeling.
Exactly.
Because you can tell when the comps are built around him and then all of a sudden he's gone and you're like, yeah, there goes the rest of your team.
Exactly. And for anyone that didn't know that the cannon kills her node in Voyage, you know how good she can be.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, I'm glad I made that mistake just to be hooked five times and just see the wreckage.
Yeah, it's true. that's actually a good thing to mention, too, is that she can actually counter Athalia a bit. So,
yeah.
For anyone, or I'm sorry, not Athalia, Sylvana, because she can pull Sylvana. I don't remember if it was it you that told me about this, that
no.
she'll pull. Oh, she'll. Well, if so, if you're going against Sylvana and you line her up, Sylvana will teleport. So she is going to get off that initial damage, but the hook will follow her and then pull her to her.
Oh, that is release. So it's like a peel.
Yep, exactly.
Oh,
so
I don't think they have many peelers in this game.
Exactly. So she's pretty important for that.
I didn't know that. Thank you for teaching me. Once again, reaffirming my low status on this podcast.
To be fair, I haven't done that personally. It was a big conversation in our guild chat because I only have her. I only have one copy of her, unfortunately.
Okay.
But yeah, either way, yes, I have the wisdom.
So the other hero I want to bring a spotlight to is Pharrell.
I knew you were gonna do that.
I really think late game he's gonna turn on.
Late game he does for sure.
And I haven't seen it yet. And sometimes I toss him in and he gets the job done. When I'm trying to, you know, just problem solve a node. He's not your typical damage. He is like pure CC, and he summons based off of his basic energy. His basic attack, I believe, actually provides a terror or a stun of some sort. He can CC three people. And it's not tied to an ultimate ability, so he's tossing out pretty frequently. He will just lock down teams once he gets up and going.
Yeah, I mean, for me, he just always ends up being kind of a wet blanket, and he dies. Yeah. And I have him leveled up fairly high, too, so it's surprising. But, yeah, I know late game he becomes a monster at least. So,
and then I think we should just mention two for our lower players for Graveborn is Vidan. I think early game... is really, really good pick. And he's really easily attainable. Before you get your Brutus, he's arguably the solo carry. Because when he goes on those bats, and he always times it perfectly. It's just right at the moment he starts healing, and he can be the last man standing and potentially wipe, you know, the last two or three heroes you need.
Yeah, I mean, I think Cevaeus is still superior. But... Vidan is for sure. I mean, like, I would definitely classify him as, like, an S plus, like, or you know, I put Cevaeus as an S plus, and I put Vidan as an S. I think for early game, you know, up to at 160, that's where I'd cut that off.
Yeah.
So,
But that's, I mean, We didn't really go deep into any of the characters necessarily with the Graveborn, but we are. You're going to notice, you're like, oh, they haven't mentioned really one character. It's like, I wonder why we're avoiding her.
That's true. Well, her. Well, we also didn't mention Kelthar.
Yeah, I mean, I am not a big fan of him personally. He has a cool. I don't know. Maybe it's the way he looks.
I mean, he's very like emo and what's the word? He's an edgelord. That's what
he is, an edgelord.
But on paper, like, he actually looks like he's pretty good. And to my understanding, he's actually pretty useful. But I don't have, and that's one of the problems with the game right now, is that it's really, really hard to focus from a character, because I'd love to take him for a spin, but I haven't found him available in Labyrinth yet. He hasn't popped up for me.
Yeah.
And I only have one copy for him, which is going to be useless. So
I think the thing that gets me with him is if you look at Thorin, when he dies and rezzes, like, he's back.
Yeah.
With Kelthar, and once again, I could just be ignorant here and call me out. Mm-hmm. When he dies, he doesn't come back. He stays on the field and continues doing, like, does damage, but he's still a dead hero at the end of the day.
And yeah.
It depends on what you're trying to do. Like, that's why I just think he's not a overall good pick. But in a single note, he could be that last little push you need to get over a line, possibly.
Yeah, but I mean, you got to remember also, like, that is kind of, it's a blessing and a curse.
Yeah.
Just because he's going to be doing a lot of damage, right? Thorin's more of a tank, so he's just kind of there to absorb. But whenever he does die, he's not affected by enemy attacks. So he's just going to be slowly dying again.
Yeah.
Which is good and bad, you know, for obvious reasons. But his haste is increased by 80% while he's on the battlefield.
It gets crazy. I actually think he's faster than, like, who is the hero we were, the Elijah twins. I think his self-haste is better than what they put out. I mean, it's just for himself, but still.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember what that ended up going up to.
I don't remember either, but it was pretty fast. I want to say it was like 75 pace almost. And I think his, if it caps out at 80. Oh, my God. The two of them combined actually could be really dirty now I'm thinking about it.
yeah, I think you're right. That's the thing. Is like a bunch of haste on a team. Mm-hmm. Oof, oof. Like, haste is, I think, probably like the most important thing. You start to realize how important haste is, or at least how nice it is, once you start using Lyca in your comp. Whenever you start to have to start using Lyca in your comp, and then you don't use her anymore, and then you're like, "What the hell is going on?" But, here?
So I think that's the one thing I will say about the Greyborn faction. They have cool aesthetics. I think they have cool kits. I like their traits. Is they don't have a lot of union faction or union from the library.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's because they've released several new heroes for them and they haven't done that. You are playing somewhat at a disadvantage to a certain extent. I mean, those aren't massive buffs, but they are still buffs to those heroes.
Yeah. Now you're 100% right about that. And there will be, I think there's going to be more to come. In fact, if I remember correctly, in the suggestions, one of them was, it's either probably going to be coming up this upcoming week, or it was this past week, but
yeah,
someone did mention that there needs to be more of the unities because they haven't had one since Sophia came out, and there does need to be new ones, because you're right, at the end of the day, like, that is something that all these new characters don't have that the older characters have an advantage of. So and if you look at it, I mean, the meta is like still the old characters for the most part.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that is something that we need to look at. But
it's let's a minor
go ahead.
Thing.
Exactly. Let's go ahead and move on to the most important Graveborn of all. Our savior, next to Lord Dreef, of course, is Shamira. So I'll go ahead and let you do the little lore bit for her. So
yeah, I like to call her my grave mommy. And once I tell you this, like, the quick little story behind it,
that's got to be a thing in the bedroom now.
Guys, listen, I put on the dark makeup and everything, and I'm like, it's gonna get really dark, so maybe I'll hold off and just tell the story, and then you can think about what I do in the bedroom.
Hopefully your wife never listens to this podcast. She doesn't. And surprises you one night and then it's like, I know what you like, man.
Is this what you want? And she holds out a big green ball, and then I'm just terrified. So So Shamira is, her husband is actually Nehru. And Nehru in his pre-corruption, pre-Graveborn stage was like a very well-known medical field, like surgeon. And he he kind of like got really into it and started doing some really questionable things. And eventually he was executed. And wow. She was really upset about it because they had a kid.
Yeah.
So she was like angry at the for just kind of like abandoning them.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't stop there, guys. We're not the bottom floor yet. It gets worse. The child ends up getting sick and eventually dies once again because her husband was such a good like surgeon and doctor and all this stuff. Like he could have possibly saved him. So she gets even more depressed and just hangs out at the son's grave with the rest of her time.
Really?
Yeah. So she just hangs out her grave. Eventually, she hears a voice one day at the grave, and it's Nehru in the Graveborn form. And he basically offers to be reunited with the son and like raises him out of the grave as this like strange horror. Mm-hmm. And she has like all these conflicting emotions about like what's happening. And then she just says to Nehru, like, yeah, I just want to be reunited. And Nehru basically kills her. And she wakes up and she's happy again because apparently she has her family, her little graveborn family. They don't give any post after, mm-hmm. you know, if Nehru and Shamira kind of are husband and wife again or even what happens to the son. But the fact is, like, she's a mom at the end of the day.
Yeah. Wow. That is one screwed up story.
It is dark. It is like, dang. I feel like it's like a Tim Burton movie almost.
Yeah. Which, but, let's be honest. These characters would be pretty awesome in a Tim Burton.
Oh my god, I wish he would.
I think we should probably send him this afterwards and be like, you got your next movie on lock, buddy.
There you go. But yeah, so her kit also reflects this to a certain extent. So I will say this, I do a little bit of stats. I really like looking at numbers, and I'm not going to go super into them, but I do want to highlight a few things. When you compare her to the other mage heroes that are intelligence-based, she has some of the highest health, actually. And that goes along with her kits once we go and break it down. However, she does not have high attack, and her defense is kind of middling. So she really relies on her health pool to get by on fights, which is going to lean into some of the strategy that you, when you do use her, how you use her.
Right.
So once again, we're not really going to go into the, like the number games, like you can look in the game and find all that, but we will go into the skills so you can see how her kit starts interacting with each other. So her main like ultimate or heroic ability, whatever you're gonna call it, is Tortured Souls, and that's where the screen starts getting all like green little clouds everywhere and starts flying everywhere, and that really just applies damage to everyone on the screen. Mm-hmm. And I think this is actually her key ability, if you ask me.
That is 100% her key ability, yeah.
And this is why sometimes you'll see people saying you have to get her to 161, because at 161, all of a sudden, she's just constantly restoring God health. Mode. Once that engine is up and running, it is not going down for the most part.
That's exactly right.
So moving on to the next ability then, she also has some anti-mage abilities where she targets a random, and that's the key thing about this, it's a random magic user, and she will silence them and do damage to them. I don't know how you feel about the random part.
I mean, it's, I will say, as you know, people start to whittle down, right? Whenever she's going through a node, it's going to end up getting to the most important person anyways.
Yeah.
This game is so RNG heavy anyways that part doesn't worry me too much, but you know, it's always ends up being the Nehru or the other Shamira at the end, right?
Yeah, the Shamira versus Shamira battle.
Exactly. So, you know, as long as I get one of them silenced, I'm okay, because both of them can screw me in their own unique ways. So, yeah, I'm not too worried about that part. Yeah, it would be better if it would be focused on you know, one particular thing, but it doesn't. I don't see that as the thing that really affects me for the most part.
Yeah. So another one of her abilities is Soul Siphon. That's the green ball that my wife uses on me at night. and all of a sudden these beams start coming out, and it basically is just a constant life leech. And if you're in Labyrinth or, any of those other kind of story modes, it's a relic that it's three beams, I believe, right?
Yeah. If you get her specific Labyrinth Labyrinth Relic. Yeah. Yeah, it goes into three beams, which is amazing. It's
pretty strong, and all of a sudden she can sustain in solo nodes, essentially.
Exactly.
And then her last ability is going to be the her damage increases the more health she has.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like her passive, which all of a sudden that goes back to you need to keep her health high.
Right. And I'm not sure if you mentioned this on Tortured Souls or not, the big AoE one. But did you mention that she brings back her health, that she converts the damage to health?
I think we said self-sustain. So okay. That was implied. Well, yeah.
So let me go ahead and just like that's one of the key things about her that makes her so good is because just as he said, you know, she does more damage with the healthier that she is. That soul siphon is a big reason why, especially at the beginning of a match, when you're attacking someone, that she can actually tank because that soul siphon actually siphons off so much health that it can, you see that bar maintain a lot of times, surprisingly. So that's a big reason why. And then the tortured souls, once you see those glorious green clouds go off, salvation basically, whenever that hits, I always feel safer. I'm like, all right, there's now like a 90% chance got through pass this. Yeah. But as soon as that happens, you know, you'll see that bar fill back up. And then as soon as it hits, you'll get that health right back because she's always almost on the brink of dying whenever she does it, it seems like. But you get that health back and then she'll start the whole cycle again. So it's all about that constant sustain, you know, as she gets damaged and then bring it back up and then more. So really, really interesting kit, really cool kit, and a lot of fun, surprisingly.
Yeah, it really is, especially when you start mixing with other characters, which we'll get to in a second. I will say her kit is very slow. And I think that's her downside. And that's why we're going over this. If we got to get through the first like 30 seconds of a match, she can get it. We're good. That's going to go into like some of her synergies and the comps you build around her. It's really important to, if you're going to use her in a varied way, you really want to lean into her. Like you really have to make her kind of like your temple. And Brutus complements that very nicely because he can last so long up front and dishes out damage by the time that if he is down, Chimera's there and doing her, I'm going to suck everything.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I we'll go ahead and talk about her. Or no, did we finish up the last ability of her yet?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah, we did. So, yeah, for the strength and weakness part, yeah, I think one of her biggest weaknesses that you can agree with is silence. Silence screws her hard. You know, just as it does for almost any caster. But whenever, like, everything tends to rely on Chimera towards the end, that can really, really screw you quick.
Yeah.
So silence is definitely her weakest thing. As you said, she can be very slow if she's in the back lane, especially. You can do things to influence that, which we'll talk about in a second. But yeah, if she's just in a vacuum, she is. It can be a slow ride to get to where you want to go.
Yeah.
But yeah, and we've already talked about her strengths a good bit. So how do you feel about her signature item?
I like it. I don't know how necessarily powerful it is because I haven't messed around with it. Like, it seems like it's pretty solid because it's just leaning into her main ability, essentially.
All right, so full disclosure, we actually got into a little bit of a discussion because we were talking about her signature item and we actually realized, because I was talking about her silence because I thought it affected her silence, he was saying all of a sudden, no, it actually affects her tortured soul. I was very confused. And then he told me he also thought it was her silence. So I went and looked in the game, and sure enough, it says Tortured Souls now. I am not crazy. I fully believe that thing was originally put out as silence. This is really just an abuse of power with a podcast, but I want to see if you guys are out there and you guys create a conspiracy club. If you guys also thought that it was silence, please let me know so I'm not crazy. Join the discord.me/ANR. You can go join that shameless plug and you can tell me because I swear that it said silence. I am
or not call wrong. Us dumbasses.
Or you can call us dumbasses, but I'm right on this. There's few things I put my foot down on and I'm right about this. It originally was for the same ability that it gave, right? The increased damage, the less amount of characters are on the field. But it was silence originally, not tortured. So yeah. I bet money on it.
Well, in the game now, it basically your main ability, the Tortured Soul, does more damage the more people are on the field. It gets a higher increase of it.
Yes, which is now, since it's not silence and it's now Tortured Soul, that's like very, very good. Because once again in those scenarios that I mentioned with Neeru especially, which is kind of ironic because that's her husband.
Yep.
But Neeru and or Shamira, that's going to be very, very helpful. I can promise you that. So now that it affects her tortured soul instead of silence, which it was before, you're going to be, this is definitely an ability that you want to invest in for sure.
Yeah. So going back to gear then, let's go talk, what Dora artifacts do you put on her normally?
So, you know, it actually kind of depends. I've experimented with three basically. So I know that you actually were the one that mentioned the crit one to me, right? And I've tried that out, and that does seem to do a bit. Like, it does seem to work fairly well. Mm-hmm. The other one that does work very well for her and actually kind of helps out one of her weaknesses that we mentioned is the energy over time.
Yep.
That one really does help. But the issue is that a lot of times you're going to end up having this combination of Tassie and Shamira.
Yep.
And this is something we'll get into in just a second, but basically you're probably going to want to put that on Tassie for reasons I'll get into.
Yep.
So, but another option though is the shield one whenever she uses her ultimate.
Yeah.
That's actually pretty good because as we know, like she uses her ultimate quite a bit and that's kind of her lifeblood. Yep. So that's really useful. It helps out with the sustain. I have found myself using that one less and less, though. So, but all three good options, I'd say.
What about you? I mean, basically all those. I mean, the energy Dora's call, I believe, is the mainstay. I think that's like generally how you start, and then depending on how matches go, you tweak.
Right.
There is one that gives 10% health, and I think that also has value. I can't remember if that's the one with the shield as well. But it provides 10% health once, which if you look at her kit, that's 10% is a lot when she has a higher health pool than most other mages, and it's also increasing her damage. So it's kind of doubling down on the strengths of her kit.
Right.
So, yeah, you want to start talking about comps and stuff? I think we've mentioned a few already.
Yeah, we've kind of already talked about it a little bit, but I will mention just to go on to that Tassie thing. So one of the big things is that whenever you're looking at comps to revolve around Shamira, which you're going to be doing late game,
yeah.
You know, that's just, it's an inevitability at this point. You're going to want to basically find a team comp that allows you to have everyone else survive long enough to get her going.
Yep.
Now, this is more exclusive to campaign because in Labyrinth, what you should be doing is making sure that you end off every match with her ult bar full. You want to keep it on manual. That way, at the beginning of every match, you can go ahead and fire it off right at the beginning. And I promise you, if you're not doing that already, that's going to make the difference for you.
Yep.
I can guarantee it.
Especially with her signature item now.
Especially with her new signature item.
Because there will be at least three people on the board.
Exactly. So that's very important. Make sure that you're doing that. But yeah, for campaign, you know, a big character that you want to put her with is Tassie.
Yeah.
Now, a good thing to remember here is that with Tassie, you are going to have the most success if Tassie uses her ultimate after Shamira uses her ultimate. So what you want to do is kind of, you know, you want to mess around with, for whatever level you're on, you want to mess around with the positioning to make sure that that kind of happens. Some things that you want to do to mess around with that. A, Tassie's really slow because she's usually going to be on the back line. And, you know, if she isn't getting damage done to her, then the energy bar is going to fill up much slower, right?
Yeah.
And so that extra energy over time really helps out with that. But at the same time, you got to, as I mentioned, try to make sure that you get off Shamira's first. If she's in the front line, she does get off her ultimate fairly quickly, depending on what's going on. You just have to make sure that she doesn't die before she gets it off. So, you know, you can use those kind of things to influence it. But basically, you want to have a team that revolves around keeping her alive as much as possible. And she pairs very well with Tassie specifically, because once the sleep gets off, it gives her time to build up enough of her ultimate to be able to get that health back whenever everyone wakes up.
Yeah, And that's, I think, those two plus, I personally like Laika with her as well.
Yes. Whole Wilder's comp.
I mean, those three in particular, I think, really synergize because you already have two characters that really rely on that going, and Laika provides that buff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the main thing you're looking for, is just to get Tassie's ult off and then Shamira's ult off as fast as possible. And I think Laika is a huge part of that.
Yes.
And then if you are still having issues, then you can lean into Lucius and, you know, hopefully he gets his shields off. And once again, that just gives you that little bit of extra edge that you might need to really start the engine going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think overall, like, the characters that I find myself pairing her with most often is a full four-person Wilders comp, which is what I'm using the most now, which is Laika, Nomura, Arden, Tassie. I do throw Euron?
Yeah, Euron? The wind guy.
Yeah, I do actually throw him in there every once in a while. He's actually very good. He becomes better late game.
I agree. I messed around with him a little bit this past week, and yeah. I can see the potential.
He's got a lot of displacement. He's kind of a glass cannon, but he really works whenever he goes.
But if you look at his signature item, I think it really buffs him. But that's a conversation for a later day.
Yes, you're right. But yeah, that and then Brutus is very good, because, which you actually mentioned earlier, because he has that, you know, passive where he can be invulnerable. We all know this. You mm-hmm. know, it's the bane of our existence and also the blessing of a lifetime. So, you know, that will allow him to survive longer, to be able to get her that ult off. And Thorin is another option that I've thrown on with her occasionally for the same reason, basically. He pops back up and he distracts for a little bit.
So I'm going to toss out a kind of off, I wouldn't say it's off the wall. I do think people realize the importance of this hero is Rain. Her mm-hmm. ultimate will really lean into the damage side of what Chimera does, because it adds 15% extra damage, and then if they kill an enemy, their energy is replenished, essentially.
Yeah.
So then all of a sudden, you know, once again, you still have that same issue of, I gotta get her up and running, but once she's up and running, it really encourages more damage, and it's coming out faster, which is really, really good for Chimera.
Yes, that's a very good point. And just the last one, at least for me, you know, you can run her with a full Graveborn comp. I haven't had much success with that. I have had some success with it, but I haven't had much success with it. But for obvious reasons, there is a benefit to doing that. You get that faction bonus
yep.
all the way to the top, which is very, very helpful with the stats. So I agree. That's something to at least pay attention to, or maybe you want to work on getting a partial benefit. If any of you guys also have other comps that you think are like God mode comps with her, feel free to let us know. You can come onto the Discord, discord.me/ANR. Shameless plug once again.
So I guess the last question that I have for this segment is wishlist or farm it? And like, I think both of us, just based on this conversation, it's like 100% like you need to do this.
Yes.
I mean, she is one of the farmable heroes.
Exactly. Luckily, she is in the store and you can get her. So definitely farm her as quick as possible. And I know that sounds weird because you're probably not going to make too much of use out of her mm-hmm. until 160, but I promise, or 161 more specifically, but I promise you it's going to change the game for you right afterwards. I can't even imagine crawling through without her right now. It would be terrible.
No.
So, definitely do that.
I wish Chu was here, because he really latched on to her over the past week as he surpassed me.
Yeah, I mean, I think she's at 2 stars right now. 2-star ascended right now.
Yep.
So, he did it right. Granted, he had
our guidance. Two very intelligent podcasters who clearly know what they're talking about and did not edit out.
Yeah, we're not a conversation about how I was preaching about the wrong ability. Although the silence was there. That's all I'm going to say.
I think it was too early on. I don't know if it was a leak maybe from early on. I can't remember. But so with that, I think we're done with our main segment of we're done talking about Graveborns and being edgelords and death.
I think we're good to go on to the next little section here.
Yeah, and you can take this one away. I know you're super excited, and it's a really cool thing they do.
Yeah, so basically every week in the AFK official Discord, people go into the suggestion channel, and they put in their suggestions, which is moderated by a bot, basically. Puts it in a nice format and everything, where people can vote yay or nay to it. And you put in a suggestion, whatever you want, people will vote on it. And then at the end of the week, the top 10 most voted for suggestions then get direct developer feedback. So that's really cool, because it actually has clear communication between the community and devs in a democratic form, which I really, really appreciate. Mm-hmm. So I think that one of the things that we're going to kind of do is pick out a couple, you know, maybe one, maybe, you know, three, four, depending on the week and the suggestions, and just kind of go over some very interesting ones. So the first one's going to be the guild collaboration. Someone suggested a little bit more about this. So Spider, why don't you go ahead and tell them like a little bit about what this one was?
Yeah, there's actually another one related to this, but we're going to just combine it. And essentially the suggestion was they want to see more guild interaction and collaboration in terms of how the guild is interacting, like in progressing through the game. So the developers basically said, we're working on it. We have some plans for you guys. But in there, the two ideas that are kind of like came out is it would be really cool if there was some type of map that the guild had to work through together, kind of like a mine almost. And that would that would give the guild itself resources. So it does encourage that we need to push ourselves because then we get more, you know, and I like that because it encourages once again, as opposed to, OK, let's see how much damage I can do on my DPS meter for Riz and Sorin. And then
exactly.
Boom, boom, boom. It's way more just interactive.
Yes.
And then the follow-up to that was actually a PvE race with guilds, kind of like, you know, it would, I don't know how it worked, but, you know, you'd have a labyrinth or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you would have to try to, you know, I don't know how they would do the metric for this. Because then it does require you to be at a specific, on a specific time, which I think goes against the philosophy of the game, but it would be cool to have that race somehow. And I just don't know how they would do it.
Yeah. My suggestion for, I mean, I think that would be cool, but I think you're right. That kind of the whole, you have to be on at a particular time to make it work, unless they can come up with some elegant solution to that. But one thing that I did mention, which is actually kind of a steal from Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes, if anyone plays it. Basically, I think that some new guild bosses would be good, but I think basically a collectively damaged guild boss would be very fun and interesting. So you, after a week of saving up, you're able to launch this mega boss, and then you see a giant health bar there, and basically you have, you know, 2-3 turns every day to hit it, and collectively everyone is hitting it, and you just see that health bar very, very slowly go down over the course of the week from everyone taking turns hitting it.
Yeah,
that allows you to keep your freedom of hopping on whenever you want. It feels like there's more interaction, and then you get, you know, like heavy rewards. I mean, like meaningful rewards, because I feel like I don't really get that out of Sorin or Riz right now.
No.
So, yeah, I know this is something that you and I have hit on specifically before. And luckily, the devs responded with basically, we are definitely working on this, so look for it in the future, which means that, you know, it might not be these specific things that this guy mentioned, but we are looking at more guild interactivity. So we're looking at more of that in the future, which is very, very good that they actually have their ear to the ground and that they know that this is something that we want and they're actively working towards it. So. Yeah. That's a good one, but the next one is probably the one that gets me the most excited, and that is the character story mode. So why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so this one, basically, they want to line up like almost like a mini campaign node that tells the origin of the story, and as your hero progresses in the game, you would unlock more of it, and as a reward, you would get more of the character. So A, it kind of helps you farm the character. Might not, especially in the later levels, it's not going to be the solution, but it would get the heroes at a decent point the first time you pull them, hopefully. Mm-hmm. And you'd go in, you bring your team. The only requirement is that you have to use that main character. And once again, the dev said, you know, we have been considering this. We like it. Stay tuned, which is a really good sign, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I think the idea of that is very, very cool. And obviously, it's good that they're admitting that and that they liked the idea of it too. So I think the fact that they're working on something like this is very exciting, and it honestly also allows you to kind of subtly, I don't want to say force, but basically it's what it is, kind of force lore onto people a little bit.
Yeah,
because a lot of times they just need like the gateway drug to get them in, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that's going to be very useful. It's very cool. So the next thing is called the mentor program. Someone said that they wanted to basically have a mentor system where older players, your veteran players, can basically mentor a newer player that just comes in. And then they either, you know, kind of ends up being a refer a friend thing where you just kind of passively get something, or potentially he was saying that they help out, the mentors help out the mentees in some way. And they said that they're actually working on a mentor program or some kind of mentor program. So that's interesting. I have a feeling that if it is something, it's going to be more of a refer a friend system. rather than a direct helping out, because I'm not sure if you can balance a veteran helping out.
I think you could, hypothetically, if, because they have the resonating crystal system in place. If you had a friend, you could essentially tap their hero and it would just scale down to that level, if that makes sense. Like a resonating crystal in the opposite direction. So if you had a really high powered friend that has all these heroes, you could essentially use those heroes for, I don't know, X amount of days or until this point in the campaign, and then they'd kind of just be in your resonating crystal to a certain extent. So you can mess around with them and use them. They wouldn't be overpowered. It's just, it just shows you the different characters in the game essentially and helps you get that early leg up.
Yeah, it's going to really suck though if you start basing like all of your ideas on these comps around characters that you're not going to have fairly soon.
That is true.
But I think that you're right. I think that that system actually would kind of work. But I think either way, some kind of system where basically you get rewarded for having a friend that's already in the game, and then both of you guys can get a little reward for it.
Yeah,
I think that's pretty cool, especially since like we've brought in so many people to play recently.
Yeah,
that would actually be really cool.
I mean, I just like people getting into the game, and some people are. Yeah, it's a whole other topic, but seems the player base keeps increasing.
So. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, don't forget, I bugged you for like what is it, like two months get on this game. Yeah. But anyways, so then the very last one is going to be drop rates for signature weapon mats. Someone brought this up and basically wanted there to be more areas where we can get them, or an increased chance of getting them. And this was something that they responded to, basically saying there's going to be more areas in the game where signature weapon mats will be rewarded. So that's just good to know as an FYI for those of you that are kind of feeling like you're not getting enough right now. It's known by the devs that it's a little bit of a crunch time and that we're going to be getting more of them, which is good considering we have so many champions in this game.
Yeah,
and it's filling up ever so fast. So having more of them to be able to put into a variety of champions is pretty good.
Yeah, I think, and if you look at a lot of this, like the overall theme of the suggestions that have been pushed out, like I think like the hero mode essentially is a focus farm for your characters once you get the first pool, which is nice. You know, explicitly saying, hey, we're focusing on signature items, we know how important they are and how much they change a kit, like that's good. And then the skill thing for just better resources once again to help you progress, like I think they know it's an issue and they're just trying to find not game breaking ways to implement it. And I appreciate the fact that they acknowledge that's an issue and they're being very deliberate about how they're going to fix it rather than just doing a complete 180 quick response that could ruin the game.
Yeah, I agree with that. So that pretty much is going to be the end of this week's episode. This is the end of episode number 2. I just want to go ahead and take a second to thank everyone because we had such an overwhelmingly positive response to the first one. So we're really glad that we decided to make the decision to kind of add this to our roster of podcasts, especially since we're such massive fans of this game. I mean, yeah. I haven't been this enthralled with a game in a very long time. Mm-hmm. And I can't tell you how many people, like the biggest thing that I see, all these people that have moved over from some of the other games that we do content for, their biggest thing is always the same thing as us, which is how nice the devs are and how responsive they are and how they feel like they're actually not being taken advantage of. So I love the fact that that's happening in this game. Thank you all so much for all the support. It's been amazing. Once again, if there's, you know, this is still very much kind of, we are messing around with the structure of the show currently. So if there's anything that you did like or you didn't like, please let us know either in the Reddit post that we're going to have up for this in the AFK Arena subreddit, or you can join discord.me/ANR. I know that you're probably annoyed with me saying that for the 50th time. Trust me, I'm annoyed with saying it myself throughout all the podcasts that we do. But so you can go ahead and go there. We have an AFK section. You can at any of us. Please let us know because we love to hear feedback. If you enjoyed the show, please leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. That's probably the most helpful thing as of right now. And is there anything else you wanted to say?
No, I mean, once again, I just appreciate all the feedback. Not to go too much into what we do behind the scenes, but like, you know, me and Hebrew literally sat down, took all the feedback, listed it out, start developing sections, trying to include as much as possible. So we are trying to make sure the content that you're getting is good, and we got a lot of, oh, include lore, and I'm a little bit new, can you, like, and we tried to do all that today. So
yeah. Not to mention, if you are a new player, like we definitely do spend, and luckily we have a lot of people that help out with this, yeah. but we spend a lot of time helping newer players because it is a pretty confusing game at the beginning. Yeah. And it can be overwhelming, just as you said. And if you need help, we are there, and we have other people there that have been playing for a long time to also help you out. So, yeah, you can go ahead and find us, and we'll give you a hand if we can. So that will pretty much do it for this week. Quick little plug on our other show, because we have to. I'll go ahead and let you plug TLOED.
Yeah, so obviously, if you can tell I like stories, we do have a D&D campaign going with a bunch of the guys on this podcast, as well as Jangles. We try to release every Thursday, and we have a cool campaign that is not exactly AFK-like, but, you know, it if you like fantasy stuff, it leans into that.
Yeah, and it's a lot of fun to play. I play a character on there that I have a blast playing, and just did one of the coolest things I've ever done in my life, so... Mm-hmm. It's probably really depressing also that I just said that. But anyways, also don't forget to check out Porn and Politics. It's a social commentary podcast. You can find this podcast, that podcast, and TLOED on literally anywhere that you could ever find podcasts. Mm-hmm. So don't worry. Just pick one and you'll find it.
Yep.
And then you can also find Masters of Launch podcast, which is a Marvel Strike Force podcast, which we are actually partnered with Marvel on that one. So make sure to check that one out as well. And I think that's pretty much it. All good with you?
Yeah, I just want to remind everyone to go kiss your grave-born mommy. Just
go kiss your grave-born mommy. all right. Well, then that's going to do it for this week, guys. We will see you next week. And all hail Lord Dreef.